get out of bed, although the sun's a sleepyhead. But not me, not today, anyway. How could I be? How could I sleep when what I dreamed about was only one more day away? Finally, today is the day.
Morning, Eleanor. You're out and about early today.
I know, right? I did it. I did not oversleep. In fact, I underslept.
You spending the holidays with your folks in Colorado?
Actually, we're meeting up in Bethlehem this year.
Christmas in Bethlehem. Wow, sounds very authentic.
Oh, not that Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, sounds very generic, Fran. Have a good trip anyway.
Thanks. Merry Christmas Eve. Tonight is the night, right? Time for me to get out of town, else I'd be Pennsylvania bound. Catch a ride and a flight, I just might never come down. I can't believe this Christmas Eve I'll be where it's Christmas every day. Finally! Oh, hey!
Hi! Are you Eleanor?
Yes, are you Yevgenie?
Close enough. We're headed to Phoenix International?
Yep.
Where are you flying?
Philadelphia.
Oh, I have a brother in Philly.
Oh.
Hey, flying on a holiday. You must be in great desperation to get somewhere.
Oh, not just somewhere. The where.
What?
Christmas City, USA. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, PA. Where there's a 90-foot lighted star inviting travelers from afar. I bet it's so pretty.
I bet. You ready?
Yep.
Finally.
To Christmas City.
Our flight is delayed.
Again?
Ma'am, you'll have to throw that away.
Put your shoes in a bin.
It's in a Ziploc bag.
It's not a cork.
And your belt, your coat, and your hat.
Where's my passport?
What an ideal way to spend a holiday. The excitement's all around.
Sir, I need to pat you down.
No! Christmas City, USA. One more checkpoint, and I'm on my way. To a picture-perfect town, where I'll take a selfie with the welcoming committee.
Have you no pity? No.
In Christmas City.
Good. Okay, kids. Your seats are right here. Wait for us after the flight and we'll walk you out.
I call a window. No, I do.
I'm so glad I paid extra for the exit row.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Can I help you?
Yeah, see if there's room for the baby up there.
No, you could have here.
Oh, I know. It's hard to be patient. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, please hear our heartfelt cry. Send us a deep and dreamy sleep so quickly the hours fly by.
Looks like we're out of room, ma'am. We're going to have to check your bag.
Yes, my bag's first. Sam, grab that.
Yes, dear.
Now we just got to wait on your bag. What is taking so long? I want to beat these people to the rental car place. Get ready to run.
Yes, dear.
Do you need some help, sir?
Oh, he's fine. He's a strong Texas boy.
Oh, is that where you're from?
Oh, yes, sweetie. Grapevine, the Christmas capital of Texas. We're headed up to Bethlehem to see what the Christmas capital of the U.S. is all about.
Me too. Maybe we'll bump into each other there.
Oh, bless your heart. Sam, get your bags. Let's go.
Yes, dear.
Oh. Hi, Mom. I made it. Where are you guys?
Honey, we're still in the airport.
Right, but where? I don't see you. You guys want to meet me at the rideshare area?
Oh, no, honey.
Hold on a sec. Hi, can you tell me where the rideshare area is?
Actually, it's right through there, but I think you have
Who's
my...
Who's been with you, Eleanor?
Oh, I don't know.
Hi, Aiden. Aiden McKay. Says it right there.
Aiden McKay. Aiden McKay! That does not say Eleanor Winter. I'm so sorry. Here's your bag. There's mine. Still over there.
Eleanor?
Yes. Sorry, Mom. So, where are you guys?
We are still at our airport in Colorado Springs.
What?
Baby, we got snowed in. I'm so sorry, but we are not going to make it there tonight.
Oh.
But if you still want to head up to Bethlehem and catch that trolley tour you were talking about, we'll try to meet you there tomorrow for Christmas, okay?
Okay.
I am so sorry, honey. I know you've been looking forward to this. And we'll make up for it after we get there, okay? Listen, your dad needs me back at the ticket counter. I have got to let you go. I love you so much.
Love you. I can't believe this Christmas Eve I'll be without the ones who make it home. But maybe it's like one big family. Maybe no one is alone in Christmas City. Oh, hi again!
Uh-oh, the baggage bandit's back.
Hide your suitcases.
Looks like you made it to the rideshare area.
Yep, so where are you headed?
Bethlehem.
Really? Me too. We should share a ride. We can go halvesies on it.
No, I don't. That's
okay. Oh, it's okay. You can have shotgun.
No,
yes, sharing is caring. Come on, let's go.
It's a lot colder here than Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix. I have a brother in Phoenix. Very pleasant this time of year.
So what takes you to Bethlehem?
My car.
Just visiting family.
You have family that lives there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That must be the coolest thing to wake up every morning there, to hear the sounds that fill the air, to smell the smells and see the sights, the streets aglow with brilliant lights, to be at home where Christmas comes alive.
We're here!
What?
You have arrived!
Christmas City, USA.
Okay, guys, you can pick one souvenir each.
One reasonably priced souvenir.
Does anyone need to go to the bathroom? Callie, come with me. You need to go to the bathroom.
I don't need to go.
Yes, you do. I gave birth to you, I can tell.
But I need to pick out my souvenir.
I've already picked it out for you. Come on.
Hello, ma'am. Could I get 2 tickets to your Jolly Trolley tour?
Well, sir, it really is a wonderful tour and an unforgettable experience.
Hey, Mom, can I get this Christmas City Monopoly game?
Unfortunately, right now, there aren't enough participants.
Well, we'll win a Monopoly game!
Hey!
Calibre!
So it looks like we might need to cancel tonight's tour.
What did she say, Sam? The tour's canceled?
Well, ma'am, we do have a minimum requirement policy, but I would be happy to get you booked on one of our Day After Christmas tours. We run specials on not only the tour, but all of our merchandise.
Oh, wait, the tour's canceled?
How can you cancel? We already paid for it online.
Sir, I would be happy to get you booked on one of our Day After
Christmas
tours.
Excuse me, folks. How many of us are planning on taking this tour? 2, 3.
Claire, raise your hand.
Why is everyone raising their hands?
I assume you're taking that one, too.
Mm-hmm. 9. That makes 9. What's the minimum?
10. The minimum is 10. So if you could send one person from each of your parties this way, I can take care of you.
Hold your horses there. We still have a few more minutes, sweetie.
Yes, but it is Christmas Eve, so it's not likely anyone else is coming.
Hi, everybody.
No, he doesn't count. He works here.
Oh.
Hey, you all right? I heard Tom and Jessica both got sick. You know, I can guide this tour while I drive it. I've heard it a million times.
Oh, no thank you, Mark.
I'd be happy to take care of this for you. Consider it an early Christmas gift.
It's my responsibility, so I'm handling it.
Thank you. Oh, look, another one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he He doesn't count. He's my nephew. He is not going on the tour. You're here.
Oh, you made it.
Oh, you look a little thinner. Are you eating enough? What do they even eat in Alaska? Salmon? You hate fish.
I hated it when I was 10, but it's grown on me.
I just can't believe you're here again for Christmas. 4 years is too long, Nicholas. I mean, I know you've been busy and everything, but it's just your home.
So what's this about a trolley tour? I thought we were hanging out tonight.
We are. Most of my staff is off, and the two guides that weren't just got food poisoning, so...
So the town tourism director has to save the day.
Yes, but no, I'm taking care of it. I might not actually know how to give a historical tour, but I do know how to give free fudge and refunds if I have to. And then we'll go have tons of fun, okay? All right, everyone, it looks like we're just a few seconds away from our time. So if you could send one person from each of your parties this way, I can...
Hi, I got a little turned around. Is this where we get tickets for the Jolly Trolley Tour? Yes.
Hey!
Wow, everyone is so friendly here.
All right, everyone, we are so glad that you have joined us for the Christmas City Jolly Trolley Tour. I'm Holly. If you could hold tight for just a second while I try to put on this Schnippelhaube.
What's a Schnippelhaube?
Ask your dad.
What's a Schnippelhaube?
Ask your mom.
Ugh. Ooh, a horse!
Oh, Claire, make sure your little sister doesn't get trampled.
Don't get trampled.
Claire, honey, we talked about this. This is a family vacation. I need you to put the phone down and be present with your family.
I am present. I just saved your kid's life.
Do you know this is a town where peeps are made? I love peeps.
Daddy, I want a peep. Daddy, please, Daddy. Wait, wait. What's a peep?
Jason, are you gonna help me with this?
Daddy.
Give me your phone.
No. No, Dad!
Here, go sit on the curb and don't move.
Oh, cool! Snapchat!
Why is this my life? Seriously, Jason? Honey, oh, honey, where's your other glove?
Oh, hey, my new Texas friends. Howdy, y'all.
Oh, hi, sweetheart. Sam, you remember the Smashing Lady, right?
Yes, dear, I sure do.
I'm Eleanor. Sam and Winnie Davis. Maybe you've seen us on TV.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. What show?
The Great Christmas Light Fight. Season 5, Episode 3.
Wow. I must have missed that one. Did you win?
Well, it's all rigged. Hollywood, you know, right, Sam?
Yes, dear.
But we're up here thinking they're going to call us back for their Where Are They Now episode. So we're in Bethlehem checking it out, hoping to get a little inspiration.
Isn't this city so magical?
Yes, it's just lovely.
It's a bit underwhelming. I mean, who only uses white lights? Where's the creativity? I'm not sure this place would make the top 10 in Texas.
Mom, what's a Schnippelhaube?
I told you to ask your dad. Maybe it's in that pamphlet he's so enthralled with.
Oh, why don't we go ask the tour guide?
What's a Schnippelhaube?
It is... Oh, this thing.
yes, Schnippelhaube means bird's beak bonnet in German, named after its pointy front. And as you can see, our lovely tour guide is putting one on right now. Can I help you with that, Holly?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you.
Oh, are you one of the tour guides, too?
Nope. I'm just the friendly trolley driver.
But we're walking.
Nicholas.
Oh, hello again. Aiden McKay, you're on this tour, too?
Yep.
Looks like we're travel buddies today, huh?
Uh-huh.
Wait, I thought you came here to visit family.
I did.
Oh, is this your family?
Oh, hello, Gry. Ha, hele dunya hokajila man America.
Angus, she wasn't asking you for a hug. Get your paws off her. So sorry about my brother. Come the lavin' a catine.
He's your brother?
Aye, the eldest of 13. I'm the wee one. We're from Aberdeen, Scotland, here for the Celtic Festival. My brother's quite the piper, but he did not ken a wee bit of English. But we're not related to this strapping brute of a man at all. Well, not yet, anyway. I am totally single and unattached, just spending another Christmas here with my brother.
Oh, well, I'm Eleanor. Pleased to meet you both.
Agnes MacDonald, currently. And he's Angus, but back home, people mostly just call him Old MacDonald.
Does he have a farm?
No, he's just old.
Nicholas!
Yeah?
Why is she calling you Nicholas?
I guess I should be calling you Professor Nicholas now.
Professor Nicholas?
Oh, yeah, he just became a professor of mining engineering all the way out in Alaska.
I thought your name was Aiden.
It is now.
Well, that's his middle name. He'll always be Nicholas to me.
Oh, this is your family. Hi, I'm Eleanor.
I'm Aunt Holly.
You're his aunt?
I look like his sister, don't I? I am his really young aunt. And Nicholas's mom was my much older sister.
And you are actually Nicholas.
Aiden.
Nicholas Aiden. I like Nicholas.
I'm really sorry about all this. We'll still make the original plan work, okay? Dinner, shopping, ice skating if you're up for it. I just need to figure out a way to make it through this. And then I'll meet you back here.
Are you kidding? And miss watching you give your first historical tour while wearing that?
Very funny. Oh, I just know how you feel about these tours, so.
Really? I'm good.
Okay. Okay, thank you, everyone, so much for your patience. So, this is a Schnäppelhaube. Oh.
That means bird's beak bonnet in German.
Yes, but thanks to the Haba Revolt in 1818, Moravian women don't have to wear it anymore. So, Merry Christmas!
What? Wow, thank you!
It was 1815, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mark. Say, maybe you could go warm up the trolley.
Aye, aye, Captain. I'll save you a seat.
All right, everyone. Let's begin our tour today with a short stroll down our own memory lane, historic Main Street. If you'll follow me. As you can see, on either side of the street, we have many historic buildings dating back to a long time ago. And what is so great about these buildings is, if you want to know the year they were built, most of them have a plaque that tells you. For example, this building, 1818. I knew something was 1818. Oh, Callie, honey, don't touch that. Claire, grab your sister.
Why are we walking again? Thought this was a trolley tour.
And if you need tips on places to eat or shop or park around here, feel free to ask as many questions about that as you'd like. Yes.
What's a Moravian book?
A Moravian book. Oh, you're asking about the Moravian bookshop across the street. Well, that is the oldest continuously operated bookshop in the world. Since the mid-1700s,
Wow.
And that is a great segue. That is a great segue to the next stop on this tour. So here in front of the Hotel Bethlehem, we have a bust of this handsome gentleman, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf.
Surely that's not his real name.
Yes, it is. In fact, I would like to point out that a certain member of our tour group tonight has a special connection to Count Nicholas Zinzendorf.
How did you know?
Know what?
That I'm a descendant of Count Zinzendorf?
You are?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Last Christmas, my parents gave me an Ancestry.com membership, and I discovered Zinzendorf is my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Wow. What I was actually referring to is that Big Z, as we call him here, is the namesake for my nephew, Nicholas.
Wait, you're named after my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather?
Guilty as charged, but no relation, just Mom was a big fan.
Really? Me too. I love his story, how he was a nobleman in Germany who was fascinated by the teachings of the Moravians. So they were being persecuted, and he let them live on his estate because he's super cool like that. And then he paid for a bunch of them to start missionary settlements all over the world like this one. And on Christmas Eve, 1741, he was right here, and he said, oh my goodness. I'm so sorry I get lost in these stories sometimes.
Somebody's obviously very passionate about their history facts.
I guess they're more than history to me. I see them as, I don't know, people like family and friends. I mean, who needs social media when you've got a good history book, right?
What?
Since he's your ancestor, why don't you finish your story about him? Don't worry, folks. I'll be fact-checking over here, and I will let you know how she does.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Help us see it the way you see it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I guess I paint the scene with my imagination. So, we are standing here, but it's 1741. And there aren't any buildings around, except for one. A simple log cabin.
I can see it. Dad, do you see it?
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it too.
And there are a handful of settlers here. And though they are tired from the hard work, their spirits are light. Because tonight is Christmas Eve. And because a very special friend is in town. Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf.
Oh, I just can't with that name.
And as Zinzendorf prepares to share with his friends from the depths of his heart, he leads them in a song.
I can see it. Can you see it?
Oh, I'm seeing it.
Hello! I am the Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. I built a town in the new world where I am adored. We speak in Deutsch and we say Dankeschön. Have some trudel come back through to Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Auf Wiedersehen!
Why are you laughing, Nicholas?
I think he was imagining it different than you were.
I just spruced it up a bit. My bad. Please continue.
On that evening, the world appears bleak, much like that first Christmas Eve centuries before, with only a single log cabin housing both man and beast. They feel despair over how little has been achieved in the months since they arrived. In that moment, Count Zinzendorf steps forward to lead them in a hymn. Jesus, call thou me. They're singing in German, of course. The words of the second stanza say, not Jerusalem, but lowly Bethlehem it was that gave us Christ to save us, not Jerusalem. Zinzendorf reminds his friends that they should not despise humble beginnings, for it was not powerful Jerusalem, but lowly Bethlehem in which Christ first entered the world. And perhaps this could be the place where Christ, carried as a light in their hearts, could be born into the new world, the Americas. And thus, he gives the town its name.
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem. And at this same location in 1937, there is another gathering. It's dark times again, in the middle of the Great Depression, and the city and the whole country are in need of some light. The Bach Choir of Bethlehem hums the tune of Jesus, Call Thou Me. While one of Zinzendorf's descendants, my second cousin thrice removed, prays for the town. And as a ceremonial switch is thrown, lighting up not only 22 city blocks, but also a giant star sitting atop a mountain overlooking the town, the declaration is made. From here on, this town shall be known as Bethlehem, Christmas City, USA. So, how'd I do?
Oh, well, no glaring inaccuracies that I could tell. Everyone, let's give Eleanor a hand. Oh, thank you for that. As you can see, our beloved Bethlehem star is now aglow atop South Mountain, which happens every day at dusk 365 days a year. Whoa. Before this tour is over, we will actually...
So sorry.
Before this tour is over, we'll actually travel up near the star so you can take some better photos if you'd like. But for now, we'll head inside for our next stop on this tour, the long-famed and well-acclaimed Hotel Bethlehem. Or, to those of us who know it well, simply the Hotel B. Right this way. Come on in, everyone. Come on in and welcome to beautiful Hotel Bethlehem. A proud member of the Historic Hotels of America.
Oh, Callie, stop. Ooh. Callie Grace.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Isn't it just amazing?
Well, it's not the Gaylord. But at least they're trying. Oh, I do like that toy soldier, Sam. Get a picture of that. We can put one of those in our Remember the Alamo section of the yard in General Santa Anna's workshop.
Yes, dear.
That toy soldier is one of six stationed around the hotel, plus two life-size nutcrackers, over 35,000 Christmas lights, wow, and 31 sparkling Christmas trees. And there is also a gingerbread replica of Hotel B.
Ooh, candy!
Don't eat that. Mm-mm.
Do you know they have a ghost tour?
Ah! Oh, honey, there's no such thing as ghosts. Right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as ghosts, sweetie.
No. You're
so tell me about this ghost tour.
Oh, well, like I always say, here at the Hotel B, our rooms are appealing to everyone. Which is why, if you don't book in advance, like the real Bethlehem, you will find that there is no room at the inn.
So, you fancy a dance?
No thank you.
Did Benjamin Franklin stay here?
Hotel B wasn't built until the roaring 1920s, but other hotels were on this very site before that. And Bethlehem has always been famous for its hospitality, so many famous people have stayed here throughout the years. Including some of our founding fathers.
Claire.
Like Ben Franklin.
Claire, are you paying attention? Remember, you have to write a report on everything you've learned on this trip.
Oh, yes. My favorite part of family vacation. Homeschool for the win.
Oh, look. Mistletoe.
Yeah. Eleanor, you... What?
Can't you just imagine what it must have been like to cross paths with such influential people? I bet the people who worked here have amazing stories.
Seriously, Claire, you need to be paying attention.
I am paying attention, Mom.
And also, like the real Bethlehem, many wise men and celebrities have followed the star and boogied on down to Bethlehem to experience our first-class service. But no matter who you are, everyone's a VIP at the Hotel B.
Just wish I could fast-forward all the commercials.
Oh, I can see it now. Can't you?
amazing history. A ritzy hall that now they call the Hotel B, where Martha Washington made her plea.
George, I got my own declaration. Better listen to me. I'm glad you're starting a nation, but we need a vacation. Tell your men you will be stationed at the Hotel B.
Hotel B. So George, go to Valley Forge.
I can't tell a lie. Forget about the Delaware, cross the Lehigh. Ben Franklin has your room keys, flying a kite. John Hancock's in the lobby saying, where do I sign? Sam Adams found the ale, John Adams wrote to Abigail.
Founding fathers feeling swell at Hotel B.
Hotel B.
Ethan Allen.
Love the furniture at Hotel B.
Alexander Hamilton.
At the outset of Lee.
And his friend Lafayette.
They can never forget those winters that they spend here at the Hotel B.
If you start a new nation, need a vacation, you can always rise above your station at the Hotel B.
In fact, as we make our way over to the Gallery of Distinguished Foreign Guests, you'll see proudly displayed the portraits of many political figures and world leaders who have stayed here.
Hotel B.
Here's another general and president, Ulysses S. Grant.
He found a general in civil at the Hotel B.
And from across the pond, Sir Winston Churchill.
He was especially fond of the pet policy.
The pet policy? I don't get it.
The British Bulldog.
Oh.
Vice Presidents Quayle and Gore and Mike Pence.
Feeling the vice, you could be feeling so nice. Take our advice and book a night at the Hotel B.
Many other presidents have stayed here, including Eisenhower, Ford, Clinton, and John F. Kennedy.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask what the Hotel B can do for you and me.
And though we've not had Obama, we've had the Dalai Lama.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Isn't he more of an entertainer?
The governor is a politician, technically.
I'll definitely be back.
And yes, we've entertained many famous entertainers as well. Our guests have been known to bump into the likes of...
Carol Burnett and Bill Stiller have a dinner, walk up home, but sit up at the end of a punchline. Earn a drink for Henry Winkler, who's given two thumbs up to Barbara Eden, who dreams of eating here every night. We grant your wish to bring another dish to Dave Coulier, who loves to stay when we have a full house.
Today I'll keep it simple. How about a Shirley Temple?
It's a good trip. Every time I stop, I give a swell tip to the nice bellhop. Then I dream so sweet at the Hotel B.
And the list of entertainers includes more than just actors and comedians. Bethlehem has always been a town that loves its music, and musicians love the Hotel B.
Connick Jr.'s always crooning our praises. Billy Joel's a fan of the piano man. Tony Bennett left his heart in the same top drawer joint where Ozzy got his start.
Wait, Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy and Harriet. Oh. They played a junior prom here right before they were famous. But Ozzy Osbourne stayed here too.
Sweet.
We're counting crows and guns and roses. Boogie with B.B. King and cut a rock with Sting. It's a swinging spot, the only place on the block where Dwayne Johnson rolls in, cause he's a fan of the rock. Too heavy for the better model than the T.Y. Amelia Earhart crossed the ocean. Even Muhammad Ali would float like a butterfly and stay at the beach.
It's the greatest of all time, so circle this way.
And look to stay at the Hotel B. So you can be like the biggest wigs in history. Boogie down to where your neighbors are celebrities. Put your feet up where everyone's a VIP. When you stay at the Hotel B.
What's the name?
Hotel B.
Hey,
Okay, everyone, here's our ride.
Finally. Hey.
All aboard, folks. Watch your step.
Hi again, ma'am.
Howdy.
If you wouldn't mind sitting close to your neighbor, we've got a full trolley tonight.
Good thing we met that minimum requirement.
Yes. Well, allow me to officially welcome you to the Jolly Trolley, our ride for the rest of this tour, and voted the best way to see the sights of Bethlehem.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Holly, but the current reigning champ is actually the horse-drawn carriage ride for 7 years running now.
Well, I was talking about that other vote they did. You know, it looks like everyone's seated now, Mark. I think we're ready to go.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Mommy, I need to use the bathroom.
Oh. So, as we move down the street, you'll notice on your right and left more of the old buildings. That pharmacy there, I'm sure, is really old.
Oh, the apothecary? Yep, 1752.
1752? Wow, see? That's older than America. And speaking of old things, as we prepare to turn onto Church Street, you'll notice on our left the Central Moravian Church. They're probably prepping for their Christmas Eve service, which is so popular you have to have reserved a free ticket to get in.
What kind of church requires a ticket to get in?
Are any of you planning on attending the service tonight?
You guys aren't going?
It isn't really our thing.
We'll make sure to have you back in time for the service. So, all these buildings on our right belong to the Moravian College, which I am proud to say that I attended for a couple years, anyway. It's one of the oldest colleges in America and was pretty progressive for its day, being the first one to educate women. And all these buildings on our left belong to the Moravian Church. Yes?
Do the Moravians use electricity?
Yes.
Why do they have candles in all of their windows?
It's just part of their traditions.
But why?
Cameron, honey, that's enough questions.
You know, I'm not actually...
Well, the Moravians are missionaries, and they view the light as representing the truth of their message. So each candle in the window, with its simple white light, represents the purity of truth shining into dark places.
Oh, cool. Are you Moravian?
Nope, I'm just a friendly trolley driver.
Wait, you mean they only use plain white lights on purpose?
Well, I think it's inspiring.
Well, simple minds think alike, I guess.
Oh.
So as we pull up to our next stop, you'll notice the community Christmas tree, which stands at over 50 feet tall this year. We'll hop off for a few minutes so you can take some photos with the tree. Or if you hurry, you might be able to catch the next presentation of a very interesting Moravian tradition, the community putzin.
What's a putzin?
It's a reindeer.
It's actually a telling of the Christmas story with figurines. All right, everyone, we'll meet back here in 15 minutes.
Wait, we're walking again? Why are we walking again?
Claire, will you please take your little sister to the bathroom?
But I wanted to go to the presentation thing. At least I can sit there.
Well, take your sister with you then.
I just love being a foster kid.
You're a foster kid?
Yeah, we all are.
Oh, wow, I'm adopted. I'm so sorry. Foster's our last name. Lisa Foster. Hi. Claire, I told you to stop telling people you're a foster kid. It's not funny. You know what? Never mind. I'll take Callie to the bathroom. You go enjoy the presentation.
You're adopted?
Yeah. My dad's an Air Force chaplain, and my parents met my birth mom when they were stationed in Germany. That's where I was born. Hey, you want to come check out this Putzin thing with me?
No. I've seen it before. I'm good.
I just love the Christmas story. I think this sounds like it would be absolutely amazing.
Does it? You know what? I think I will go with you.
Sam, grab the other end of this tape. Sam? Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Central Moravian Church Putzen presentation. We are overjoyed to celebrate our 82nd consecutive year this Christmas. We want to extend a very special thank you to our sponsors, the Ladies Sewing Society, for the hours they spent sewing costumes for our figurines, and the Busy Workers Society, who journeyed to the Pocono Mountains to hand gather the moss you see displayed here today. In a moment, I will be turning the lights off in the room so that you can fully enjoy the Putzen experience with its all-new, dramatic lighting effects. If you need to use the restroom at any point during the presentation, please wait. Enjoy.
Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus said,
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
This is the heart of the Christmas story. It's an old story which invites us to find new meaning each time it's told. Listen for its meaning for you today. The prophet Isaiah said,
unto us a child is born, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And the angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin named Mary, engaged to a man named Joseph. The angel said,
greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and you will bear a son and name him Jesus.
Mary said to the angel,
how can this be, since I am a virgin?
The angel said,
so what do you think?
Her,
is it as amazing as you thought it would be?
It's incredible.
Yes. It's like a shrine to someone's biblical action figures. Wait, are you crying?
I can't help it. It's just so beautiful.
You're joking, right?
No. Maybe I'm weird, but it's just, I see them. Their hopes, their questions, their fears, the darkness before each moment of light. I see a girl, not so different from me. Perhaps a bit younger, she wonders if her life will look like a fairy tale dream. I see in her eyes the innocent question inside. God, I know I've always been my papa's good girl, but will I be a good carpenter's bride? Am I strong enough to share in his life, to bear my whole heart, to carry his child, to hold on to his love? How can he know I'm the one before I know?
I will cling to your word that I've heard.
I see a man, perhaps a little like you, a man who can always fit the pieces together, but who can build a life where love is untrue.
I'm not skilled enough
to unbreak a vow,
to mend this somehow,
or send her away.
Can't give her my name when she's taking yours in vain, claiming you're the one to blame. But am I the one to blame?
Suddenly, a light breaks the dark, saying, faithful son, do not be afraid. Although you feel betrayed, your perfect one, she carries God's son.
Can it be?
He cries.
I don't understand why this is your plan, but let it be as you say. Though I question in the night, Lord, I trust in your word that I've heard. I will trust in your word that I've heard in the light.
In the light, there's a glimpse of the world as you intend it to be. The weight of the waiting is lifted, darkness has to flee. 'Cause if it's your will in your time, you'll make a way. Even another closed door can't deny. Even another closed door can't deny.
A single thing you say. I see a boy drowsily watching a field of sheep, just like his father and his father before. He knows this is all there is and all there will. I see a man who seeks, earnestly watching a field of stars, just like his father before. He knows the heavens hold the key to all that we are.
But am I wise enough? Should I keep looking up?
Seeking to find some sign of the divine.
Give it a little more time, or have we been foolishly wasting these sleepless nights? Night after silent night.
In the light, there's a glimpse of the world as he intends it to be. The way can make an unexpected way. I see a girl not so different from me, a little bit younger. She wonders what has become of her fairy tale dream.
I have her eyes. I'm the lost innocence she carries inside. Although she tried to be Papa's good girl, some things Papa's love just won't bite. She's not old enough to give up her life, to carry a child, to give it a home, to do it alone. She searches the stars for a sign of life in this dead end. Suddenly, a light breaks the dark, saying, precious one, do not be afraid. We don't know where you're going or what you're going through, but can we walk with you on the way?
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our presentation. You are now free to use the restroom.
I just love the way you see things. Thank you.
Tapali. Washing are beautiful.
I told you before, get your paws off her.
Welcome back, everybody. In just a moment, we'll be headed into South Bethlehem and up to the star.
How was the presentation? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I think I did. You want to see the pic I took?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's cute, honey. You know, you've got a real photographer's eye.
Thanks. Maybe I could be the family photographer for the trip.
I would love that. So now we're about to cross the Lehigh River and head into South Bethlehem, which has its own rich history. If you'll look to our right, you'll notice a distinctive element of our skyline lit up in red and green, the blast furnaces for the well-known Bethlehem Steel Plant.
Well, they can't be that well-known. I've never heard of them. Have you?
Yes, dear.
You have?
Yes, it's one of the largest steel companies of the 20th century.
How do you know that?
I'm a good listener.
He's absolutely right. It was the number two steel manufacturer in the country, right after U.S. Steel.
Professor Nicholas, you're our resident expert on all things related to Bethlehem Steel.
He comes from a long line of steelworkers going all the way back to his great-grandfather, Liam McKay, who came over from Ireland in the early 1900s to work at Bethlehem Steel.
So you're from Ireland?
My great-grandfather was.
We're practically cousins. Wait.
Anyways, when Nicholas was in high school, he read everything he could about the steel mill. And he is a professor of mining engineering, so he's way more qualified to talk about it than I am. So take it away, Professor McKay.
Awesome. Well, Bethlehem Steel, I mean, they practically built the U.S. Navy in World War II. They had 35,000 people working for them at one point. Their steel's been used to construct the Chrysler Building, the St. Louis Arch, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Hoover Dam, and Alcatraz.
Ooh, I love Alcatraz.
Do they steel make steel?
Wait, I don't get it. Do they steel make steel?
No. They had their final cast in November of 1995.
Those were dark days around here. Generations of family pride and tradition just cut off. The day the steel plant closed, all those hardened workers just stood around, weeping, with no idea how to go on. The thing about these places that are so rich in history is they find it hard to keep up with changing technology.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to keep up with the world when you're stuck in the past.
But us Bethlehemites, we find a way to survive. This whole area over here is thriving again, really. Plenty of jobs with an art center, a skating rink, concert venue, an outlet mall, a casino.
A casino?
Yeah, but that is not an official stop on this trolley tour. However, we do invite you to come back to this area again before you leave. You especially do not want to miss the Chris Kindle Market.
What's that?
Oh, it's a German Christmas market. It's the best.
Well, that sounds lovely, doesn't it, dear?
Well, yes, dear.
So you grew up here?
Yep.
And your parents?
They passed away when I was a kid. Aunt Holly raised me through my tumultuous teenage years.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
It's okay. It was 18 years ago. Feels like a different life.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Hey, thanks so much for being my travel buddy today. You know, this town is so fascinating and kind of magical, you know, all the traditions. Feels like a great big family tree with great big roots. So many generations. I wish I had a place like this to call home, or any place for that matter. Man, I bet it was really special growing up in a place like this, being able to call it your home.
Yeah? Well, life here doesn't always look like the travel posters.
Oh, I mean, I know no place is perfect. I moved around so much growing up, you know, military family and all, that I just think it would be amazing to have roots, traditions, a place you can call yours, and a big star always inviting you back home. Although, if I'd grown up here, I don't think I'd ever want to leave in the first place.
That's because you didn't grow up here.
All right, everyone, here we are, the famous Bethlehem Star. We'll take about 5 minutes before we head back into town while Mark turns the trolley around. But be careful to watch out for possums. They're not particularly friendly.
Ooh, a bunny!
Don't worry, I'll get her. I don't think that's a bunny. Honey!
Oh, sir, please don't trespass into the woods.
Oh! Woods!
Hey, Eleanor. I'm sorry. It's just this town. It's so into its history and reminders of the past like it's a good thing. I just don't want to be reminded. This is where it happened. Where my parents, it's my fault they were even up here. Aiden was my dad's name. And I guess I like using it because it makes me feel connected to him somehow. And people say that I'm a lot like him, but when I was a kid, I was more like my mom. She loved Christmas and candles and music and, well, all the things. I loved that stupid star. I was obsessed with it. In 95, after my dad got laid off from the steel plant, he got a job working at Lehigh University, just up the road, and he negotiated to get this old abandoned building near the star. He fixed it up and made it our home. It was right down there. And that star was right outside my window. I called it my nightlight. And every night, I'd go to sleep with the light shining through my window into my room. The first Christmas in that house was my favorite Christmas ever.
Your parents seem like really special people.
Yeah. After 9/11, they went up to New York with some other folks from town to help clean up, spent a few weeks there. I stayed with my Aunt Holly, who was in college at the time, so that was an adventure.
I bet.
That year, I was chosen to be the soloist down at the Christmas Eve service at the church. And it's kind of a big deal here in town, so my parents were really proud. But since they had just gotten back from New York, they needed to do some Christmas shopping for me while I was at rehearsal.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan.
Afterwards, I waited for them outside. But they never came. We're not exactly sure what happened, but it looks like they were running home to drop off my presents before coming back down to pick me up and hit a deer. Happens up here a lot, apparently.
Nicholas, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. Eventually, Holly came to pick me up. She took me home and stayed with me. She forced a smile and said, "We'll talk about it later." And then she closed my curtains so I could get some sleep. I never opened those curtains again. I guess we never talked about it later. And that's why I'm now spilling my guts to a stranger.
Well, I'm not really a stranger. I mean, I'm your travel buddy.
Yes, you are. I'm sorry I snapped at you, travel buddy. It wasn't your fault.
But you know, what happened wasn't your fault either.
All right, everyone, it's time to load up the trolley and head back into town. We've got some folks trying to make that Christmas Eve service.
Well, it's not as impressive as chasing lights. But there is something really beautiful about that star.
Star of wonder, star of
you know,
night.
I appreciate a man with a bunny beard.
I'm just the friendly trolley driver, ma'am.
Guide us to thy perfect light.
concludes the Jolly Trolley Tour. On behalf of the Bethlehem Tourism Bureau, thank you for spending your holiday with us.
Thank you. Hey, guys. We need a group photo.
Yes.
Okay. Everyone get in. Okay. Everyone say, Christmas City!
Christmas City!
Thanks, guys.
This tour was so much fun. I wish we could do this next year.
Oh, well, we might be booked with the Great Christmas Light Fight. But I have to say that it's a lovely idea, young man.
Goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'll see you
Merry
at
Christmas.
Service.
Yes.
Service. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Well, looks like this is the end of the road.
Wait, don't go anywhere. Oh, thank you for a beautiful tour. It was perfect.
You're welcome.
Don't go anywhere.
She reminds me of your mom.
Yeah? I guess I can see that. I mean, she is really...
Yeah, she is. So?
So, yeah. I don't know. What... Did I see something between you and Mark?
What? Mark? No.
No.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Oh, he asked me out 3 times. He is really sweet. He does look out for me. I guess I'm a tough nut to crack.
Mm. You and me both. Guess it runs in the family?
It didn't used to, though. Looks like the service is starting. You know, I haven't been back since you were a kid. I really miss hearing you sing. Such a beautiful little voice. Beautiful little spirit. I mean, you're still beautiful.
Thanks. You were always my biggest cheerleader.
Yes, always. When you were young, your parents used to bring you to my games to watch me cheer. The team could be getting creamed behind us, and us cheerleaders were all business as usual, trying to start the wave or whatever. Your dad was like a big brother to me. He would tease me about it, because he thought we had no idea what was going on behind us. We knew. It just wasn't our job. You may not remember the fall of 95, the fateful November of my junior year, the town's last stand before the final steel was poured, the year it all shut down. There was a homecoming game. I had just been named captain of my cheerleading team. A dream in the middle of a nightmare football season. Our boys, like the town, were beaten down, needing someone to say you're stronger than the shame. Now go and win this one game. That was my job. To help them believe, to make the perfect plan of cheers and chants, and a halftime dance to get them back on their feet. I held my smile all the while, as if I never had a doubt, until time ran out. The faces of a devastated walking away, leaving hope on the ground. And all I could say was, it's okay, we'll get 'em next year. If there was a better way to say I'm sorry for your loss, I should have tried that cheer. The year it all shut down. down. I guess it's kind of funny, but I can't remember any other part of 01 before that infamous September when the world crashed down and peace was buried deep in a pile of steel on the ground. How could they just fall down? And you and me, my little buddy, we had our own two towers fall that year. In the darkest December we have ever known, in a time of joy to the world and peace on the earth, we were just suddenly alone, trying to find our way back home. And it was my job to help you to grieve, to let you ask me why and let you cry, to let you know your pain inside was safe with me. But I was a child, raising a child, fighting my own fear and doubt. 'Cause when time runs out, there's no guiding star to be found when you're walking away, leaving hope in the ground. There's nothing to say, you just find a way to get through to next year. Put up a wall and hope a smile will hold it up. A wall to protect us from life and love. But maybe 18 next years is enough to finally get off the ground, dust off the ashes, take a good look around. Maybe it's time to open the curtains and let the light flood in. Believe again. Nicholas, I'm so sorry for our loss and how I handled it. It wasn't fair.
For either of us. But life isn't fair.
But maybe it can go on. Eventually. Maybe we don't need our walls up to protect us anymore. Maybe we'll find a way to rediscover what was lost. Maybe the skies will clear this year, the year the walls fall down.
Okay, sorry that took me so long. I finally found it. Merry Christmas. It's a nightlight.
Thanks. I didn't get you anything.
Yes, you did.
I did?
Yeah, a friend. My parents were supposed to be here with me, but they got snowed in. But I think today ended up just the way it was supposed to be. Hey, I know you said it's not your thing, but do you guys want to come to the service with me?
Oh, that's really sweet of you, but we don't have any tickets.
Oh, well.
Well, the thing is, my parents got snowed in, so...
Star, my soul's true love.
may be seated. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. This carol and many like it relentlessly reminds us 'tis the season to be jolly, the season of joy. But what are we to do when it isn't? How do we prepare him room when we find it difficult to repeat the sounding joy? I'm a proud resident of this wonderful city and love its reminders of the original Christmas city, Bethlehem of Judah, the town that prepared him room. But how exactly did Bethlehem prepare him room? There is no baby shower for him, no welcoming committee, or halls decked with boughs of holly. No home or hotel or any place fit for humans opens up to receive him. What he is offered is the only thing they have to give, a filthy feeding trough for animals. The wise men give their gifts, the shepherds give their worship, and Bethlehem gives a feeding trough. Perhaps you find yourself in the season of cheer at the birthday party for the newborn king with nothing to give. Perhaps the ground of your life has been fruitless, it's been hardened, it's been cursed. But my friends, perhaps this is the very feeding trough into which the King of the universe wants to be born if we will only offer it to him. If we will allow the grounds of our heart to be broken that we can sing with the psalmist. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as the streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will reap harvest with shouts of joy. Or even as the carol proclaims, no more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. This Christmas, each of us has the opportunity to be Bethlehem, the Christmas city, where Christ can be born. Not by offering him pristine palaces, not by cleaning up the mess in our lives until they are spotless and sparkling. No, that is not what he is asking for. He wants your stable, the places you don't want to open up to him. He wants to be invited into the muck and the mess. You see, he didn't come to heal the healthy, but the sick. Nor did he come to be a light in the light, but darkness. Offer him your darkness. Offer him your stable. Offer him your broken heart. This is how we receive our King. This is how every heart prepares him room and how we can finally, with heaven and nature, sing.
Different from me, a faith that is younger, a childlike wonder that clings to the good things he cannot see. There's hope in his eyes, no glimpse of the lost innocence he'll carry inside. Although he'll try to run away in the dark, one day find his way home to the
Driver.
Not tonight. Tonight marks my friendly plus one for the Von Trapp family Christmas concert over at the Steel Stacks.
Wait, then who's guiding the tour?
Hey, everyone. Sorry I'm late.
Got the trolley parked around the corner for you.
Thanks, Mark. You and Holly have fun at the concert tonight. We'll see you at the service after.
Save us some seats.
As soon as I get my Schnepplehaube on, we'll be on our way.
Schnepplehaube?
Schnepplehaube. A chalak bonich goeon.
That's my brother. He did not ken a wee bit of English. I'm Agnes.
Welcome to the Jolly Trolley Tour. I'm Eleanor, and we're about to take an amazing journey together.
Wait, you live here now?
It's the coolest thing. I wake up every morning here. I hear the sounds of Christmas cheer, smell the smells and see the sights. The streets aglow with brilliant lights.